And I'm excited about not the ending, but I'm excited about what we've learned and how we can absolutely recognize that the power of God is moving in our world and God's in control. Amen? God is in complete control. So we're going to go back, speaking of the tribulation, and then next week we will conclude it. And the end of July, I believe next week is the 29th, we'll be meeting, and then we will be taking the month of August off as parents get involved with getting their kids ready for school and all the above. So turn to Revelation chapter 11. And let's fully explain again the two witnesses who will appear in the tribulation and do mighty works. We find this in Revelation 11, verse 1 through 14. But let's go ahead and begin with verse 3. And it says, "And I will give power to my two witnesses." All right, so everybody knows two witnesses. Last week we told you who they were. We'll remind you this week. And the reason why we will know is because the Bible tells us the miracles, some of the miracles that they will be doing, which matches when they were on this earth in the Old Testament. "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." Now, 1,260 days is 3.5 years. Now, when we dove into this and we began teaching you about this, the tribulation, remember, it's the last week of Daniel's 70 weeks. Okay, we need to go back. And we need to understand that when Jesus Christ was crucified, the Bible says, in Daniel, that Messiah was cut off. That was 69 weeks, each week representing 7 years, all right? And when the Messiah was cut off, crucified, then Jewish time stopped. And then the church was revealed. And so when you see Matthew 24 and 25, and people will use it for church rapture or church materials, we have to understand a terminology used in the Bible is that the church was a mystery until the Holy Spirit revealed Acts chapter 2, revealed the church. So what we find is Jewish time was cut off at the end of the 69th week. There was one more week or 7 years left, and then church began. Now, church has gone over 2,000 years, all right, and it will continue until the Lord decides to what? The first coming of the Lord is the rapture of the church. And so you will have the rapture of the church. Then you will have 7 years of tribulation. Once the church is raptured, then it goes back to Jewish time to conclude Daniel's 70 weeks when we showed you Daniel's dream and the prophecy that he gave. So what we are talking about now is it has not taken place yet, even though sometimes the chaos in our world, it looks like tribulation, but it's not the tribulation. And when you study Scripture, Scripture divides the last 7 years in half. 3.5 years, 3.5 years. All right? So we will find in a moment, I will show it to you, but the two witnesses will appear at the end of the first 3.5 years. And they will do great miracles. Where we will read, we'll find out that they will be killed, but they will be raised from the dead. And they will usher in the second advent, which is the second coming of Jesus. The first is the rapture of the church. Church is gone. And then he will come up and set up his millennial reign. And that's that terrible day that the scripture talks about. All right, so now that I got you all wrapped up in the fullness of the story, let's begin now talking about the two witnesses and what takes place with them. So the two witnesses appear in the second half of the tribulation, and they will introduce the second advent when, remember, the rapture is when Jesus meets the church in the air, and those that are alive and remain will be caught up in the air with Jesus, and those that have died will be brought up, and then we will go to, remember, the Bema seat. All right, what in the world is a Bema seat? It's the reward seat. And a lot of people think that's that judgment day. No, it's not, because if you are the church and you're born again, you are already judged through Jesus Christ. And so when the rapture of the church, you will go, and the judging of you is of your works on this earth. And you will be rewarded at the Bema seat for your works while you are on this earth alive. All right? And the second advent is that when Jesus comes to set up the thousand-year reign, the millennial reign, and then forever we will be together in the new earth, all the above. So we will next week conclude this series. We'll touch on some things. We will bring about these aspects of the Antichrist, which we've touched on through this series. And remember, a lot of people are trying to figure out who the Antichrist is going to be. The Antichrist is a mystery, will not be revealed until you and me, the church, is taken. So for us to try to figure it out, for us to try to figure that it's going to take place, who it is, you know, remember, through history, you study history, people have said, oh, it's Hitler, Mussolini, it's, you know, and I won't say any names of today, but he won't be revealed until after the rapture of the church. So for you and me to try to figure it out, we will never figure it out. Now, let me just say this to you, is the Antichrist is human, but he will be run by Satan. So if Jesus returns tomorrow, then we know that the Antichrist is here. All right, but he hasn't been revealed and moved into that realm. And as we've talked to you about, you know, all the end time things, is that, remember Rome and then the contemporary Rome that will come back, and they will usher in all the tribulation, everything. And as they ruled years ago, they will rule again, but they will rule with 10 nations, all the above. So in this whole series, we have given you all these truths and backed them up by scripture, not opinion, all right? So they are killed, the two witnesses, they are raised from the dead, and then they introduce the second advent. Verse 4, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. So this is found when it's talking about the two olive trees or the two lampstands, it's talking about the two witnesses, all right? And you'll find that, if you're taking notes, you'll find that also in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, and 11 and 14. That's Zechariah 4, verses 2 and 3, and verses 11 and 14. All right, Revelation 11, 5 now. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have, verse 6, power to watch. Now it begins to show us what they do. Talking about the two witnesses. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. So who stopped the rain in the Old Testament? Elijah, remember? He prophesied that it would not rain. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Now, who did that in the Old Testament? Moses. All right? So what I will say to you from Scripture, people try to bring out other people, is that I believe that it is Elijah and Moses that will be the two witnesses. Because the very miracles is said that they have power to do always. There will be other miracles they'll do. But these miracles that they will do, power to do all the time, is what Elijah and Moses did when they were on this earth in the Old Testament. So that's why I bring that to you. Now, why I spend a little bit more time on this is because there's so many people with so many opinions of what goes on. But I try to simplify things by saying, this isn't, even though I said it, my opinion, but my opinion according to what Scripture says, these are the two. All right? All right, so let's go on. So the Scripture confirms by the miracles of the Old Testament who the two witnesses will be. So let's go back to Matthew 24 now. And in Matthew 24, verse 14, it says this, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come." The end will come is the end of the tribulation. All right? Verse 15 speaks of the middle of the tribulation. What is the middle of the tribulation? It's divided into two, 3.5 years and 3.5 years. All right? The first 3.5 years is tribulation. It's hard. It's rough. But then the beginning of the second 3.5 years is when Satan enters the Antichrist and then really goes after to destroy God's people. And the Jewish Christians and the Christians that were born again during the tribulation. Let me remind you of something else that we taught in this series, is that a lot of people struggle with, you know, being caught up or those terminologies in the Bible when it talks about something being caught up or something leaving, you know. And I will tell you, the leaving or the caught up is talking about the church. A lot of people say, well, no, it's the Holy Spirit. Well, I want to tell you, it's not the Holy Spirit that's taken away, it's the church. Because if the Holy Spirit was taken away, there could be no salvation. Okay, no one could get born again because it's the Holy Spirit that comes in. All right, so again, it's all of the terminology, all what people say sounds really good and sounds really spiritual and almost sounds biblical, but it's not biblical because, again, if the Holy Spirit is caught away and removed, then no one can be born again because the first 3.5 years of the tribulation will be the greatest move of God in people getting saved. People getting saved. And so my heart is I want to get people saved. And I go to restaurants. I talk to waiters and waitresses and who clean the tables. And I always talk to them, get to know them and different things. And then I really try to lead them to Jesus Christ. And many times I'm able to. All right? I want people born again. But I want to tell you, after the church is raptured, there are still 7 years for people to get born again. But at the second advent, as we've talked in this series and taught, after the 7 years, then it's a done deal. So after the second advent, then no one can be born again. So we will avail much. There will be so much that God will do, and what a blessing it will be. So verse 14 ended the first half of the tribulation that we basically talked about last week. Verse 15 starts the second half of the tribulation. So let's read it. Therefore, when is the middle of the tribulation comes. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, standing in the holy place. So whoever reads, let him understand. Notice what Daniel said. Daniel said the abomination of desolation would occur in the midst or middle of the week, which is 7 years, again, divided by 2, 3.5 years. He said the Antichrist now comes and sits down in the temple and then will demand worship. Okay, verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads this, let him understand. Verse 16, then, when the second half of tribulation begins, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Okay, here's one more thing that I want to biblically straighten out a little bit. Okay? Have you heard of martyrdom? Or people being martyred, okay? Being killed for their belief system. In the tribulation, if they are martyred, it's not because God planned for them to be martyred. In most cases, they are martyred or killed because of their ignorance of the Word of God. Because Matthew 24 and 25, and what we're reading, begins to express to them in the tribulation when the abomination of desolation happens, the Antichrist is revealed, and Satan enters into Antichrist. The Bible says, run, flee to the mountains. I'm going to show you which mountains. All right? And in those mountains, there will be a protection of God over them in the mountains that the Antichrist or anybody can go after. They will be protected for those 3.5 years. And then when Jesus returns on the earth, the second advent, they will be there ready for Jesus, and they will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Also, scripture we read last week and 3 weeks ago, that we showed you that then long life begins again. And so these people will live through the 1,000 years. All right? And it's just an exciting time that's going to take place. So what I'm trying to do is say, even though it's really rough, really bad tribulation, there's going to be really good stuff that takes place during the tribulation. Millions of people will become saved during that time. So the middle of the tribulation is the indicator to Jewish believers to get out of there. God is saying, get out of Jerusalem because I have protection for you. And he's saying, if you stay in Jerusalem, you will be killed. Go to the mountains, I'll take care of you. So they will be led to certain mountain ranges. And the question on this is, how does this protection occur? The protection occurs because they know the Word of God, and they are obedient to it. The first 3.5 years, they can stay in Jerusalem, okay? And many of them will stay because people will be visiting, and people that aren't believers, they'll come, and all the Jews, most of the Jews, will be born again, will be saved. And they will begin to lead them to Christ. And there will be such a ministry of Israel to the world. Okay, remember? Going back to Jewish time. Now, let's go back to the beginning of this series. Remember, the gospel was given to the Jews first, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. What does that mean? God gave the Jews the gospel, and they were to minister to the Gentiles. But what did they not do? They didn't minister to the Gentiles. All right? So it came a time when Jesus was talking to the leadership, and remember the scripture where they were questioning him, and what about this? And he says, and it will be, he told a story and an allegory, a story and a parable. And the end of the story is that it's going to be taken from you, the Jew, and given to the Gentile. And that was the church. They didn't know it was the church because, again, the church was a mystery, was not revealed until the second chapter of Acts. But on the second chapter of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came and Peter preached the message, thousands were saved. And when they were speaking in tongues, because tongues is a heavenly language and also can be a language that's on this earth. So if you're Italian, you know, and then you go somewhere and you're speaking in tongues, you could be speaking in Mandarin. All right? So tongues are either a tongue in heaven that none of us know, or it could be a language. That's why when the second chapter of Acts took place, Holy Spirit was given and went in them. They became born again. They began to speak in tongues. And many of them says, hey, aren't these the Galatians? Galatians, right? Yes. Aren't these the Galatians? And he said, but they speak in our language. All right? So there it is again. Why does that take place? Is because God is so good. And we found, we taught you how there was a leader who destroyed the whole armies of the world and ruled the world, and then he created one language so that most people could understand one language. And that's when then Jesus comes, and then the gospel was able to be preached around the world because there was no basically a language barrier, because many people did speak one language. So with all of that, and in this series, do you not know God's in total control? God's in total control. So he's saying, get to the mountains, and the protection will occur because they know the word. So the question, what does the word say? The word says the first half of tribulation, it's okay to stay in Jerusalem, but the very day Antichrist walks in the temple, run as Daniel prophesied. When you run, there will be divine supernatural protection for you. Verse 17, Matthew 24. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of the house. Speaks of those who are home in the city because they hang out in the housetop. You hang out in a backyard or whatever. They hung out on top of the roof, and that's how the buildings were built back then. So they were home. It says, don't even go down and pack your cooler. All right? Run. Matthew 24:18. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. He's got his work clothes. If you're at work, it happens. Run. All right? For those who are at home or at work, Somehow they are told the abomination of desolation is happening in the temple. Run. So scripture talks about some will be asleep, or some will be, working the field. Why is it saying that? Because it's talking about the whole world. How does the whole world know? Well, there's computers. There's TV. So all this stuff happens, and he's saying, if you know the word and you see that on TV, that the coronation of the guy there in the temple, 3.5 years, you run. Don't stop. Run to the mountains. Basically talking to the Jewish people, because that's where Antichrist was really going to go after God's people. So if you don't run, the Antichrist's force will be so strong, he will get you before you can leave. So run. And that is the Roman Empire developing itself again. So when you go to Italy, you look around. That's where it's coming from. Okay? So Daniel 11:41 tells us the three mountain ranges. All right? The mountain ranges that they run to is Edom, E-D-O-M, Moab, M-O-A-B, and Ammon, A-M-M-O-N. Now, if you have been to Israel, those mountain ranges surround the Dead Sea. And it's amazing how the Dead Sea will come alive. You know, and it's just, I mean, you go to Israel and the stories for, that we told and the scripture we went over, and I gave a whole packet of study of each place we were going to and the scripture to read. What a joy it was. We were so exhausted from walking and doing this, but so happy, because what a joy it is to see the Word of God pictured in front of you, and what a joy it is. So these were the mountain ranges where Balaam, remember Balaam, prophesied. Also, they are the mountain ranges of three heathen nations. All right, Edomites, Moabites, and the Ammonites. Matter of fact, you just take the names I gave you and put ites on the back. And they had fought Israel and when they came into the wilderness. So even back then, when they crossed into the Promised Land, they fought Israel back then. But in those areas, the way God works, where the enemy was the strongest when they went into the Promised Land is where God's going to protect his people again. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? And it's all planned. I mean, it doesn't explain everything, but it gives us a real understanding. Matthew 24, verse 19. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. So we heard this before with the first time Jerusalem was destroyed in Luke 21. But the same phrase is used for the time of the Antichrist because he sets up his image in the temple, all right? And verse 20, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Okay, so it's hard enough to go up to the mountains in the winter, also on the Sabbath, because bottom line, all the gas stations are closed. Okay, because it's Sabbath. Gas stations are closed. They're not supposed to do this, but all the grocery stores to get water or whatever, whatever they're doing. Now, they're supposed to just run, drop everything and go. But if I was a Christian Jew, a couple hours before Sabbath, I'd fill my tank all the time. I'd have a full tank just to be ready, right? I'm not trying to be you know, facetious or non-spiritual here, but if you really know the Word of God, you know, I mean, it's simple, like in life, if you know you got a trouble with drinking, don't go in a bar, right? If you know you have a problem with a certain thing, don't go in there. Just don't tempt yourself. So, or if you know that it could happen on the Sabbath, because remember it says on the Sabbath, so it could happen on a Sabbath. So, you know, because some people probably would say, oh, you know, God, he loves us so much, which he does. He's going to take care of us, which he does. He wouldn't do it on a Sabbath. Said here, he may. So be ready. So don't do it on the Sabbath day, but do it the day before and be ready. Have stuff packed and get it ready, because why? In Sabbath, you prepare your foods beforehand and then you have it already ready for the Sabbath day. And so you have that. So you pack up. It happens on the Sabbath, you're ready. And your tank's full and all that, because the taxi cabs, everything are not functioning. Sabbath. All right, let's go on. Verse 19 again, but woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies. Why would woe? Because you're carrying a baby. You're having to climb up into the mountain because you're carrying a baby and you're nursing. So trust there will be grocery stores on the way if it's not on the Sabbath. Verse 21, for then when, as soon as the second half of the tribulation begins, for then there will be great tribulation. It's talking about the second half will be great tribulation. The first half, again, was bad, but the second is the worst time in all recorded history that will take place, how bad it will be. The amount of people that will be murdered, killed, and the wars that will take place, all the above. So great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. So question, why is the second half worse than the first half? Think about it. It is when the Antichrist sits down and the church has been gone for 3.5 years. Also, Satan before had access to heaven. And now, in 3.5 years, Satan is cast out of heaven. No longer has entrance into heaven. How ticked is he going to be? How mad is he going to be about heaven, God, and God's people? So what's he going to do to get back at God? He's going to go after God's people. So you and I have to understand the reality of the fullness of what will take place. So my focus is not, oh, I got to get people, everybody born again because the rapture of the church, it's done, it's over with. No, it's not. But I don't want them to go into the second half of the tribulation. You think things are bad today. It is like immense compared to today. All the lies, all the deception, everything that goes on. So Satan is called the accuser of the brethren, and that's found in Romans 8 and Revelation 12. But in the middle of the tribulation, Satan is cast out of heaven and has no more access to heaven. In great fury, he acts out on the earth. That's why Antichrist walks in the temple and takes over the throne. Satan wants his man, Antichrist, worshipped. That's why Father God wanted his man worshiped, and his name is Jesus. And that's why Antichrist acts out with great anger, wrath, killing, slaughter, slaughter, and just nature itself has great upheaval. From plagues to you name it that goes on the earth. So the protection, you will understand, is also protection over plagues, protection over disease, protection over sickness, when they run and they go to where they're supposed to go. Now, how many of you know that in Egypt, Israel were slaves all those years, but they didn't live in the city proper. They lived outside in Goshen. Okay? And the Bible tells us that in Goshen, these diseases and the different things that Egypt had and the plagues that Egypt had wasn't in Goshen. So the picture of these mountains in the tribulation second half are also an example of what happened in Goshen. So just really, when you study the Word of God and you get off the emotional aspect of end times and all the wickedness and everything, when you just really study it and just grab a hold of the Word, the knowledge of the Word of God and what it says, you begin to know specific things. So he wants Antichrist worship. He demands that all Jews are to be killed, especially Christian Jews. The Christian Jews who know the word will run out and be protected going to the mountains. They will stay there for 3.5 years because, again, God's protection is there. Let me just read some more scripture here. Verse 21, for then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. So just bottom line, the evil of our world through history of our world, it's going to be worse the last 3.5 years. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Verse 22 says, God will not allow it to go one day beyond 3.5 years. Because there is so much destruction that's happening. If God let it go one more day, then the 3.5 years, Christians would be slaughtered. Verse 23. Then, here's the thing again, then when? The second half of the tribulation. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out, or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. So, when you read the scripture in the times of the Bible, you'll go, huh? But you got to read this in the times when the tribulation is going to take place. So they will have, you know, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, all the news agencies saying, guess what? Come down, because there's a protection. Now, the Bible doesn't explain what happens. All right? It doesn't. I know God, with Moses, separated the waters and they walked on dry land. And, you know, the different protections that took place. You know, God would say, go this way, and they would go that way. And the one king said, you know, he knows my conversation in my bedchambers, you know. So however God protects, there's something there that they can't touch them. So what they're trying to do is deceive them and say that Christ has arrived. He has set his foot on the ground. He's here. Look, he's here. And it says, don't move and don't be deceived. Know the word of God. Because we need to understand Jesus is not coming through the desert. The Antichrist will communicate, Jesus here, come down. Commercials, news, radio, computers, etc. Telling them, he's here, Jesus. But look at verse 27 of Matthew 24. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. No matter what people say in the TV or the radio, don't go by that. One day you're going to be sitting there and like lightning. That's when you know he's here. And the moment he comes, just like that, he'll set his foot and he'll destroy the enemy immediately. And the war of Armageddon, he'll destroy that. And we talked about Armageddon, what that was in this series. And so we find deception doesn't come because you know the word of God. So this is the second advent of Jesus when he places his feet on the ground, and every eye will see him, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And that's found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. So everyone will see the lightning because it is the glory of God. It's not really lightning. It's the glory of God that all people will see. Wow. Next week, we will continue and we will conclude this series next week. I have about three different things that I could talk about, and I'm just going to surprise you next week. And we're going to conclude. I might just put all three together and just, you know, take 5 hours. No, just kidding. And we'll do it in an hour, and we'll grab a hold the fullness of everything. Okay, let's all stand. Praise the Lord. That's my book of notes. So. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that just overwhelms each one of us here. My brothers and sisters that are standing here, Lord, bless them. Encourage them in their jobs and their businesses and their homes, the places where they play. Lord, let your kingdom be revealed in such a unique way to each person here. Thank you, Lord, for how you are breaking through at Valley Community Church, and mighty things are taking place. We give you honor for that. Blessings, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you.